everybody. Welcome to Fantasy Sports Today. Chris Beattie, Ashley Docking here with you. Chris is pumped to be here today.
I'm fired up. I'm ready to go. Thursday night football. Let's go. Jets, Bills. Who's going to win?
Bills. The Bills. They have a good record against the Jets.
They do.
But we have a heavy hitter day today, if you will. Brad Evans from Yahoo joins us. And then Jake Seely, as promised, with his weekly rankings. We're going to obviously touch on his week two rankings. And then with Brad Evans, we're doing running back by committee preferences, where Brad thinks the majority of the touches are going to go. But first, everyone took the day off on Wednesday. We didn't, but a lot of people did not practice in the NFL on Wednesday, Chris.
Yeah, let's lead with Rob Gronkowski. Heard of him? Pretty good. Drafted him first round, yet to see him play. Frustrated? Probably. Limited in practice yesterday, hamstring injury. We talked about this guy before. Just, I think it was a risk. I remember a draft that was done by most of the Roto Experts crew, and Gary and Gabe, myself, had to do a write-up, and Gronk was taken with the 10th pick. I didn't think there was really any need to take Gronk in the first round. Yes, we're kind of panicking a little bit. We know he's going to be healthy eventually when Brady will be back and that offense will be rolling come fantasy football playoff time, but you probably only drafted one tight end if you drafted Gronk, because really when you did drafts, you didn't think he was going to miss any time at all. It was just kind of came out of nowhere about a week and a half ago, and he missed that game. It looked like New England was just punting that game. They won it. Now they're back home against Miami. You wonder if he's going to play in this game or not. He's questionable. We talked about tight ends all week, really. If you're in a situation where you have Gronk and that's it, you can look at Rudolph, Vance McDonald, maybe some people cut their ties with Fleener, Zach Miller. Both of those guys have really good matchups. Zach Ertz is actually not ruled out. I wouldn't play him. It's a Monday night game that you might not find that out until later on, so you might want to find help elsewhere. But I mean, Gronk's Gronk. If he plays, he's going to be awesome. But again, why would you rush this guy back? They probably thought they were going to lose that game in Arizona.
Yeah.
They almost did. They got the win. They could beat Miami without Gronk. So if it's me, I'm just resting Gronk, but it's a sticky
situation.
They
can, but even if he dresses, you have to start him if he's in
Absolutely.
Your lineup.
You
he's obviously going to be valuable. He's going
to
increase the value of Jimmy Garoppolo if you want to take a flyer on him in any DFS situations, which we don't necessarily recommend. But it's actually not, as you mentioned, he last year he was going high first round,
yes,
high
really
to mid first round.
Like fifth, sixth
this
pick.
Year we saw late first round, early second round, so as low as in the ninth round in one draft.
Wow.
That was on Fantasy Football Calculator. Was
okay, yeah.
So it's not as big of a loss as it would have been last year, but it obviously still hurts you. As you mentioned, if you choose Gronk, you're not going to have another tight end.
It might help out everybody else. Bennett, a lot of people thought Bennett was going to be fine with no Gronk, and he
was, okay.
was invisible. He was okay,
he was
only
okay.
like a couple of catches.
Yeah.
So maybe, you know, Gronk back in the lineup, people will think, oh, this hurts Bennett. I think it would actually help Bennett
a little bit more. Demaryius Thomas, hip issue. He was evaluated on Sunday, was going for a second opinion. He was limited at practice on Wednesday, but word is he'll still play against the Colts. 6 targets, 4 receptions for just under 50 yards in the Broncos opener against the Panthers. All of 2015, this guy never got less than 6 targets, and he only got less than double-digit targets 5 times throughout the season. So volume is going to be a problem. It's concerning that he's going to be decreasing because Simeon is behind under center now, so it does decrease his value instead of wide receiver 1, wide receiver 2 value return. And now with the injury, it's definitely concerning for owners of Demaryius Thomas, but they'll stick a cortisone shot in his hip. He'll be fine. He'll probably deal with the effects a bit later in the season, but right now it shouldn't be too much of a problem.
Yeah, you got to think, like, he's probably going to be bothered by this hip issue all
year
long.
There's not a lot of time to recover between games.
No, we really didn't hear about it until Sunday morning. I mean, they played Thursday night. We hear Sunday morning he's getting a second opinion on his hip, an MRI. That's not good news. It's like Josh Donaldson now getting an MRI in his hip this late in the season. This is never good news when MRI and hip is in the same sentence, but this is a dream matchup for him. Like, let's get going here. You got Simeon to throw the ball. The Colts secondary is beat up. We saw Stafford just throw all
Demolish
over them. So
them.
This could be a good game for Demaryius Thomas owners who are probably a little bit worried about him right now. So if he shows up, good on you. And if he shows up in a big way, I'd honestly think about flipping him. I don't want him on any of my teams. And Arian Foster, don't want him on any of my teams either. He missed practice, but honestly, like, I just feel like it was a rest day for him. And why would you roll him out to practice? This is what happens with some of these veteran players, especially on Wednesday.
Yep.
They just don't practice. So that was the case with Arian Foster. And I wouldn't worry too much about it. If you own him, you already know that you took a gamble on him, and you see him now not practicing, you probably think, oh no, already. But I honestly do feel like
it's just maintenance.
There's really no need to roll him out there. They need him. And he was okay in that first game against Seattle.
Great,
in a really
yards.
Tough matchup.
Yeah, total yards.
Total yards, 100, and getting some catches. So he's always going to be a PPR monster. He gets that bigger boost in PPR formats than standard.
And just a note, Jay Ajayi will dress week two, it's looking like.
Oh,
he was a healthy scratch in week one, so not sure what that means. They did. They just left him behind. They shut the door on the plane and waved on the tarmac. Yeah. But I'm not sure what that means for Foster's workload. Probably not a lot, but he's just there as an insurance plan. And then for D'Angelo Williams, same thing as Arian Foster. He didn't practice on Wednesday,
a
maintenance day. 32 touches. Give the guy a break. He had 143 yards on the ground. He had a great game. That Pittsburgh offense is just full of fantasy gems. You want a piece of this offense at any point in time. They're taking the Bengals. They're taking on the Bengals this week, and Williams, running back one, upside.
Absolutely. He's a top five guy this week, and he's still not priced properly, in my opinion, on DFS, and he should be one of the highest priced backs. Well, every time he plays, he's so productive, as you mentioned. That Steelers offense is fantastic.
And this should be concerning for Le'Veon Bell owners, because it means when he comes back, whether or not he's full strength or not, and we talked about this at the beginning of the season, if Williams is able to carve out a niche for himself, he will still be in the picture and a big piece of the picture when Bell comes back. In particular, when you're coming off knee injuries, they don't want to rush you back in. They don't want to give you too much. And why would you if your offense is working with someone else?
Devontae Freeman also limited in practice. We're going to talk to Brad Evans in a little bit about this whole running back by committee situation in Atlanta. Tevin Coleman really outplayed Devontae Freeman, even though Freeman got still four red zone rushing attempts, which is positive news, but popping up on the injury report is not positive news. He's dealing with a quad injury. So, I don't think it's anything too significant, but the snap count was fairly even, 32 to 36 in favor of Freeman. So we'll ask Brad Evans who he thinks is eventually going to take this job away. He's just like a consensus top 10 back for a lot of people on draft day. I'm concerned. I know we've talked about it a lot this week, but I don't know Freeman anywhere, but if I did, I would be extremely concerned, and I don't know if I would start him with confidence.
Coleman
we'll
got 5% more targets than Freeman, and that was supposed to be Freeman's bread and butter. And then just of note, Sam Bradford taking all the first team reps with the Vikings. They're taking on the Packers this week. That should boost Stephon Diggs' value.
Yeah, Diggs was okay in that
game. Diggs was good. He had 100 yards.
I think it'll help out AP a little bit. That was a tough game for Adrian Peterson, much like week one of last season. He just didn't do a whole lot. I think Bradford's a better quarterback than Sean Hill.
And Petipa. That's French, by the way, for a little bit. We're going to be back in just a little bit. And as promised, we have Brad Evans from Yahoo Sports. He's going to talk to us about running back by committees and his personal preferences. Woo-hoo. Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Things are about to get a lot more exciting. Not only is our very own Camera 2 dancing behind the camera, it's Friday Junior, it's Thirsty Thursday, and Brad Evans is here, and he is a tequila connoisseur. If you follow him on Twitter, you are aware of this.
How's it going, Brad?
It's Tequila Thursday. It's the best day of the week. It's going grand, guys.
I need to know, do you take your tequila with training wheels, some salt, some citrus? What do you like?
No. Absolutely not. I just pour it over the rocks. I sip a fine añejo or reposado, and they are always generous pours in the Evans household.
Okay, and then by the end of it, maybe just like straight from the bottle.
Yeah. You may need a lot of it tonight to get through the Thursday night football game, but let's talk about a game that's happening on Sunday. The Seattle Seahawks, Pete Carroll has announced that Rawls will be the starter. Christine Michael really outsnapped him, outplayed him in week one, but it's kind of not a surprise that Rawls didn't get that many snaps. But how do you see the situation playing out? Is Michael just another overhyped preseason for this guy?
Well, Michael really impressed me. I love his running style, low center of gravity, fine vision as well, and a guy that gets a lot of yards after contact. I mean, he's going to play a role. He's not going to completely disappear, but he's going to be probably more of a 8, 9, 10 touch per game running back with Rawls being the main man. I mean, Daryl Bevel, the OC up there in Seattle, told ESPN today that, Rawls is their guy. He fits the power scheme to a T, and they're going to lean on him, probably starting this week. Now, are you going to play Thomas Rawls? Depending upon what your options are, but I wouldn't encourage it because I think the Seattle-LA Rams game is going to be 3-2 with Nelson Cruz hitting a three-run home run to put the Seahawks over the top. So I want nothing to do with that game on either side of the ball, especially with a gimpy Russell Wilson. But moving forward, it will be the Thomas Rawls show, and here's the good news. Seattle in week 3 gets San Francisco at home, so Rawls will get his mojo back in short order. starter.
Nelson Cruz, back-to-back games with a home run, too. He's feeling hot.
Love the baseball reference.
There you go.
Let's talk about the Atlanta situation, because that's even more confusing than the Thomas Rawls-Michael situation, because at least that there's a little bit of an injury involved, although there is some concern that Devontae Freeman right now might not be completely healthy. But he was supposed to be the lead back. He was getting drafted a few rounds significantly before Coleman. Coleman was his handcuff, essentially, and that's not necessarily a title you want to hold when you're a fantasy football player. That's not really, I guess, an attribute to how talented that you are. But everyone forgets that Coleman was supposed to be the starter last year before he got injured. Now the concern is that Freeman was supposed to be the pass-catching back. Coleman outperformed him in that category, too, last week. So how is this going to shake out? Are you concerned for Devontae Freeman owners?
Well, it's an incredible coincidence, because it was at this point on the fantasy calendar last year that Freeman seized control of the backfield over Coleman, right? Mm-hmm. So now the script has been flipped, and I think Tevin Coleman is going to gain hand this week in that backfield going against the Raiders. Now, you know, look, the Raiders, this front's got a lot of talent, and I think they're better than what they showed last week against the New Orleans Saints. They did allow 4.8 yards per carry to Mark Ingram, but it's still a work in progress. They've underachieved a little bit. Coleman is just, he's a better fit for this scheme. And I've said this the entire summer. This is why I own zero shares of Devontae Freeman. I was afraid it was going to become RBBC nightmare. That has transpired already this season. And as you mentioned, Coleman was so impressive as a receiver last week, plucking that poorly thrown ball from Matt Ryan, reaching back from behind him, his body to reel it in and then turn upfield for a big gainer. That really stood out to me. And, you know, being a one cut and go back, though, a little bit of an upright runner and more explosive in the open field. I think it's only a matter of time that Coleman seizes control of this backfield, and it could happen this week.
The only knock on Coleman last year was also that he couldn't hold on to the ball. Three fumbles, which got him into some trouble. So if he can stay out of that region and kind of hold on to it, he should be fine.
Let's move on to the Baltimore Ravens. 37 snaps for Justin Forsett. Terrence West had 27 snaps in that first game against the Buffalo Bills. This is a dream matchup for both of these guys against Cleveland. But do you start either of them with confidence? And I mean, Terrence West, I noticed on Yahoo, guys are already dropping him. Should people drop him?
No, in fact, I think Terrence West is going to find the end zone this week. You know, if you're looking for a flexy, sexy option in deeper leagues, like a 14-teamer or deeper, I mean, West is a guy that's worth a plug and play. You know, Forsett and him near dead even in terms of total touches last week. It's still going to be a near 50-50 timeshare moving forward. I don't think Buck Allen's going to be on the field this week. He was a healthy scratch in week one. So, you know, as of now, I think West is the guy. If you're going to play either one of these cats that you want to insert in your lineup. You know, last week, Ryan Matthews, he needed a ton of volume to have a good fantasy day, but still finished inside the top 20. But Matthews also saw, you know, a stacked or base front on 53.6% of the snaps. That will not be the case with Joe Flacco instead of Carson Wentz under center. So I think you're going to see some lighter fronts, some exploitable fronts, and West will take advantage. I'm going to say 50 to 60 yards and a touchdown. But ultimately, you want Kenneth Dixon in this backfield. Even though he's on IR right now, he's a guy that's going to be the main man in Baltimore once he's healthy, probably come mid-October.
Yeah, so do you suggest people, I mean, we've been talking about Dixon taking over that backfield too. If he's hanging on the waiver wire, would you suggest people just go ahead and grab him right now?
Oh, absolutely. Look, you know, I cover the NFL draft for Yahoo as well. And when I was scouting some film, he reminded me of so much of a smaller version of Matt Forte. Mm. And it's kind of, in a twist of irony or coincidence, however you want to define it, that he's now playing for Mark Trestman. And of course, Matt Forte had his best seasons fantasy-wise under Trestman's direction in Chicago. So I think Kenneth Dixon has that type of skill set. He's got an incredible change of pace. He's got tacky hands out of the backfield, and he's a guy that gained over 60% of his yards, granted it was at La Tech, after initial contact. So he's a complete running back, also good in pass protection, and they're just biding their time in Baltimore to get him the reps. So once he's healthy, he will be the primary ball carrier there in the Emerald City.
A blow for the Browns losing RG3, but the most productive part of their offense was their run game anyway, so does it really matter? I don't know. I guess we'll find out this week. But between Isaiah Crowell and Duke Johnson, besides PPR value, it seems like Duke Johnson is kind of finding himself out of the equation, even though there was conversations before that. But with Isaiah Crowell, he was great, 5.2 yards per carry, extremely productive. But there was a stretch last season, a five-game stretch between late October and November, where he only averaged 1.5 yards per carry. Is the problem with Crowell consistency, and do you trust him to kind of take that next step this season?
It is consistency. 10-4 there, a little glitch there. But yeah, consistency, clearly the issue with Isaiah Crowell. You know, obviously Hugh Jackson addressed that, you know, kind of threw down the gauntlet at Crowell in training camp, saying that's exactly what he needs to establish. It's going to be, you know, a piston ride, basically. It's up and down. It's up and down in terms of his production this season. I think Duke Johnson gets an uptick with Josh McCown under center now instead of RG3, a guy that, you know, was fantasy formidable at times when McCown was dealing last year. And, you know, Josh McCown was a respectable fantasy quarterback. I mean, from weeks 3 through 12 last season, he was QB12 in fantasy points per game. He averaged 294 passing yards per contest. So I think it's an upgrade for the offense overall. But really, you know, none of these guys you're trusting unless the matchup is delectable. I don't know if that's necessarily the case this week, you know, going against the Baltimore Ravens. I think Duke Johnson, if anything, is a flex option, a full point PPR, but I'm not playing Isaiah Crowell.
Theo Riddick, one of the most picked up guys in Yahoo Sports. I know he was, his ownership was hovering around 34% before that first game against the Colts, and both him and Amir Abdullah were both startable. They both caught balls in the backfield. It wasn't just Riddick. It was Amir who caught five as well. I just want to know if you you wouldn't own both of them, but are they both startable running backs, certainly in flex options?
This week, no, I don't think so. I think maybe Theo Riddick at a full point PPR, but I think Amir Abdullah is going to come crashing back down to earth. Got to remember what Tennessee did a week ago. I mean, they contained Adrian Peterson very, very well. He was stonewalled early and often in that game. Amir Abdullah, you know, had the second highest yak of any running back in week one. Number one was David Johnson. He was number two, which is shocking to me. A guy that's pint-sized but has a ton of talent, but they could be humbled in this one because the Tennessee front line is much better than advertised. But, you know, here's the thing about old Jim Bob Cooter. Not only can he play the banjo, but he always calls Theo Riddick's number. And, you know, he's a guy that Riddick, who's averaged five receptions per game, stretching back to last year with Jim Bob calling the shots on offense. So I don't see that script changing, but I think it's going to be a modest output overall for both backs this week.
All right. Over under 7 shots of tequila for you tonight, Brad.
Oh, we don't do shots.
Well, glasses.
It's on the rocks,
on the rocks.
You
guys are classy.
On the rocks. We sip it. We enjoy it. We, you know, we soak in the oaky flavors of the agave. So, yeah, I'm going to say if we set the number, let's put it at a half. 5.5. It might sneak over. I usually sneak in a couple of beers to hydrate. So, you know, it's usually a rough Friday morning for me.
Okay, well, I'm going to follow your Twitter feed as everyone else should, and we'll tell by the level of aggressiveness in the tweets how much tequila has been ingested.
Exactly. And I'll be at the Punch Bowl Social in Denver, Colorado. So if you're watching in the Rocky Mountain region and want to share some Mexican love juice with the Big Noise, come on out.
All right. Thanks so much, Brad. Have a great night.
Enjoy the game, buddy.
Enjoy it, guys. We'll see you.
All right. See you later.
Take care.
Mexican love juice.
I love it.
Let's see if Jake Seeley has ever dabbled with Mexican love juice on the other side of this break.
No chance.
Maybe. No. Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Chris Meany, Ashley Docking here with you. Jake Seeley from Roto Experts joins us now to go over his weekly rankings for week 2. Jake, hello. We've been waiting for this all week.
And that should be the case every single week.
Well, sometimes we might not be waiting for it. It depends how accurate you are. But last week you were pretty good, so we're looking forward to it this week.
Yeah, we're talking about one of the top accuracy rankers on Fantasy Pro. So let the head go here.
Boom, I can't see your head in the screen anymore.
Let's do it. Let's. All these rankings, of course, can be found at rotoexperts.com. You write sleepers, busts, DFS plays, all your rankings there, standard, PPR, half point. But we're talking quarterbacks right now. I bring up a board here, 1 to 10. No surprise, Cam Newton against San Francisco. You got Carson Palmer in there. Matthew Stafford stays as a top quarterback. Andrew Luck at 10 in a tough matchup. Let's go to 11 to 20 where things get really interesting. Marcus Mariota, Russell Wilson, tough matchup dealing with an ankle injury. You're still down on Phillip Rivers against Jacksonville. But let's talk about Marcus Mariota. Minnesota, because this guy really, in some leagues, went undrafted. And this is a team that likes to run the ball a little bit here. But what's your thinking? Just that maybe they'll be down in this game and Matthew Stafford will be airing it out, so Mariota's going to have to do the same?
Well, the big thing about it is, one, the matchup, and then two is everybody said, oh, he had an off week. Yeah, we know about the fumble, but just in general, it's like, oh, it was a bad game for Mariota, but he threw for 271 yards and two touchdowns in what was an off week. And you just look at what the Lions just gave up to Andrew Luck, and granted, I'm not putting Mariota in the same conversation as Andrew Luck, but part of the appeal with Mariota is the fact that Andrew Luck ran a little bit, and Mariota could do that even better. Like, we could probably get 40, 50 yards out of Mariota, which is as good as a touchdown against this defense that he should do really good against. Because the thing is, I like Darius Slay, and he causes a problem for probably Tajae Sharpe. We're not sure exactly how they'll match up, but if that's even happening, he rushes for those 40, 50 yards, and he gets 270 yards and two touchdowns, it's going to be another big day. It's going to be borderline QB1, which he wasn't that far off from last week.
All right, let's talk some running backs. We don't have to do too much time, Jake, but we want your insight on as much as possible. Number 7 running back is Todd Gurley. He did absolutely nothing last week. In fact, he didn't play the fourth quarter, I believe, the entire fourth quarter. What are your expectations this week? Seattle is a much more difficult matchup than he had.
Oh, he stinks. Drop him. One week is all that matters in fantasy football. Look, Todd Gurley, he ran into the same problem last year. He started off like gangbusters, and towards the end of the year was whether he was tired of the matchups, the team started stacking the box against him. He kind of ran into the situation. It's not the ideal matchup, but at the same time, after just one week, I'm not going to knock him outside of my top 10 running backs based on talent alone. Really, I always go back to this. If stacking the box were that simple, Adrian Peterson wouldn't have a career. So sure. I just look at Todd Gurley. He's similar talent. I expect a little bit better this week. Maybe he doesn't reach top 10, but I'm not going to knock him out over one game yet.
Jamaal Charles not ranked this week for you, Jake. Assuming that he plays, where would he land on your rankings?
I probably wouldn't even rank him. I mean, okay. Honestly, I'm going to put him in like the RB50 range just because he's kind of in that group of guys where you start thinking about ceiling versus your production, guys that you can trust every single week to even get you 3 or 4 points. Like Theo Riddick in standard, probably only get you 3, 4, 5 points, but is that better than trying to risk Jamaal Charles getting 2 carries? So that's kind of that break point where it's if you really want to shoot for the moon, but I actually don't even think he plays.
And Spencer Ware wouldn't be affected at all even if he did play. It doesn't look like he's going to play, but if Charles did play, you'd still keep Ware as a top 10 back this week?
I'm actually thinking of moving Spencer Ware down a little bit because he's dealing with injuries. I think Charkandrick West could get sprinkled in more this week. Okay. So I'm not as sold as what we just saw from Spencer Ware, only because it doesn't sound like he's 100%.
Let's go to wide receivers. Dez Bryant, number 15 in your rankings. Is this where this guy's just going to stay until you see some production? I mean, Dak Prescott threw the ball 45 times. One catch to Dez, a whole lot to Beasley and Witten. Yeah. What do you make of this whole situation? And is this is where Dez is going to stay in this 10 to 15 range for you?
I really think so until Tony Romo comes back. And let's get one thing straight here. If he catches that touchdown and doesn't do the Dez Bryant and lose the catch at the ground, really, we're having a completely different conversation. Actually, we're not probably having the conversation is that everybody's just going to say, Dez Bryant did what he should in the first week. Like, we're not even going to talk about it. But the thing with Dak Prescott, this team's not going to ask him to be aggressive down the field. He's going to dink and dunk the Cole Beasley and Jason Witten, as you mentioned, all the time. But Dez will still get his 6, 7, 8 targets. He's just going to have to be more efficient with them. And that's why he falls in this range, is he can definitely get in the red zone and get a score, but he's done being a top 10 guy until Romo comes back.
We have about 45 seconds, Jake. You're right. 1 of 5 is not acceptable for someone of Dez Bryant's caliber, excuse me. But let's talk about Will Fuller, someone on the come up. He was targeted an obscene amount. Is this something we should expect for the entire season?
I think so. Probably a little bit less. I wouldn't expect 11 targets every single week. But the biggest problem with him, only 5 catches. It's still the hands issue. He's Mike Wallace, Nate Washington, Kenny Stills. He's all these kind of big play opportunities where he'll have games like last week, but then he'll have games where he gets you 3 for 40 and you're just annoyed. So it's just more about the hands. But I think the targets will be pretty consistent.
Will Fuller or Sterling Shepard to start this week?
Oh, Sterling Shepard, no question.
And start, we got to get out of here, but start Kobe Fleener with confidence this week?
Start him, not with confidence. No.
But you should put him on your roster.
But you got him. You got to play him, I guess.
Yeah, you definitely have to. You're across the middle of the field with what they just gave up to Jason Witten, definitely.
Have you ever tried tequila before, yes or no?
Nope.
We knew it. All right, Jake.
We're out of here. Have a great week, Jake. Thanks for joining us, buddy.
Yeah. Thanks.
Bye.